Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. I'll be your host today, and we have a lot to talk about. You know, we just had Congressman Sessions, or rather Senator Sessions, Pete Sessions, say that Obama is begging to be impeached because of what's going on at the border. Well, he's been begging to be impeached over many different issues. We now have a faux congressman, Eleanor Holmes Norton, a non-voting member of the Congress from the District of Columbia, where they don't have Congress people. She's saying that we don't have a right to know what's going on because in our form of government, that doesn't happen. Well, maybe that's the way it's going to be in our new form of government. So we've got the Obama administration signaling that they're going to take executive action on the border on immigration, and actually came out and said, this is Dan Pfeiffer, who has been with the Obama White House since the very beginning. He said, the president acting on immigration reform will certainly up the likelihood that the Republicans will contemplate impeachment at some point. Yeah, they're kind of laying that out there, begging for that to happen. Yet, is this, in this chess game, is this something that we should just wink an eye at and say, well, that's fine, we don't want to rock the boat before the elections, or do we stand on principle? Now, Sessions is saying he wants you to light up the phone lines at the Congress, at the Senate, at the congressional delegations for your congressman. He wants you to call them and melt it down. We want you to call in today and let us know what you think about that. What you think about is going on at the border. We're going to have some clips from our reporters down at the border. Joe Biggs is down there with cameramen. They're taking a look at the border. It's pretty amazing to see exactly what this fence looks like. Is that the way we stop this? Do we build a fence? Do we send the military? Do we increase border patrols there? Do we militarize the border patrol? What's the right way to tackle this? We want your opinions on this as well. I've got some ideas. We're going to talk about that as well. We're also going to talk about some major court victories for the Second Amendment, as well as an illustration of what happens in the same situation, 2 years apart, two shootings, both in Pennsylvania, both in a psychiatric ward. A patient comes in and starts shooting people, but two very different results based on whether or not people have concealed carry or not. And it also raises a question as to what's going to happen to someone who defends himself and defends other people when it is prohibited to have concealed carry in that area. Now, we also have a court decision that's come down in Washington, D.C., and that's a very important decision there, and it illustrates a lot there. The District of Columbia, just like Chicago, has done everything they can to prohibit the exercise of the Second Amendment. And we need to understand that if you're allowed to technically have guns, but you've got to keep them locked up at home all the time, that is what is an infringement by definition in the Second Amendment. If you're not allowed to use your guns, that is an infringement. And of course, it's not just an outright ban on taking them out of your home. There's a lot of different ways that the Second Amendment, that your fundamental right that transcends our governments, that transcends the Constitution, that our governments and our Constitution were created to protect those rights that we have from God, our right of self-defense, whether that is from criminals breaking into our home or from a criminal government. Those rights come from God, and they were recognized in the Second Amendment, not created by the Second Amendment. And when the government infringes those, we need to do something about that. Now, we've got a judge that agreed with that today in a D.C. case. It's Palmer versus District of Columbia. Remember, it was back in 2008 that it was Heller versus D.C., where they essentially said that you could own guns. They had outright prohibited guns up to that point, and they finally said, no, you can own guns. But then they so restricted it that you didn't effectively have any rights at all. Well, this is a five-year battle that has just concluded with a federal judge saying, yes, you can carry guns in the District of Columbia. Now we'll see how else they infringe it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls at 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539.
Hi. I'm Janet Napolitano, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Homeland Security begins with hometown security.
It seems apparent that our citizens are staying off the streets, which may make scoring particularly difficult, even with this year's rule changes. To recap those revisions, women are still worth 10 points more than men in all age brackets, but teenagers now rack up 40 points, and toddlers under 12 now rate a big 70 points. The big score, anyone, any sex, over 75 years old, has been upped to 100 points. As always, how fast you move determines how long you live.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host for today on this Sunday, July 27th, 2014. Now, as I was just saying in the last segment, things are beginning to come to a head on a lot of different fronts. Of course, the crisis that is happening at the border. Now they're sending signals that they're going to use executive orders. What a surprise. That's something we have seen over and over again from Obama. Clearly does not have any respect whatsoever for the Congress, for a division of power, for the rule of law. He rules by fiat. And we've got Congressman Stockman who is telling, who went down to the border with WorldNet Daily, and they got the same receipt down there that we got when we went down with our crew. Basically, they went to a facility, wanted to take pictures of it. People came out and started questioning them, wouldn't let them in. And then when they drove around the Rio Grande Valley, taking a look at what was happening late at night, because that's when the action really happens, they were being followed by the Border Patrol. So the Border Patrol focuses on reporters. They focus on congressmen. What they don't focus on are the people coming across the border. And as our reporter Joe Biggs is now down at the border with evidence of how these fences and the areas where they do have fences, how these fences are being cut open. I don't think that's happening with little children who are coming across the border. There's a whole different dynamic here than is being portrayed in the media, being portrayed by the White House. It is not simply a humanitarian crisis of a lot of little children who are marching across Central and South America to come to our borders. But now the Obama administration is signaling that they're going to use executive orders, that they're going to do it before the midterm elections in November. At the same time, we've got Pete Sessions, a senator from Alabama, saying Obama is begging to be impeached, and that's the Stockman who's saying that. Sessions is saying we need to do something about this, or they're going to give amnesty to 3, 4, 5 million people. And of course, he's quoting another congressman, Luis Gutierrez, who says exactly the same thing, that he wants to see that happen with executive order. Meanwhile, on the transparency issue, we've got Eleanor Holmes Norton saying that we don't really need to know what's going on. What's going to be coming down the pike? This is what she had to say in an amazing statement this last, I think it was just yesterday she said this, but she was saying that you don't need to know what's going on in your government.
You don't have a right to know everything in a separation of powers government, my friend. That is the difference between a parliamentary government and a separation of powers government.
Really? That's the difference between parliamentary government and a separation of powers government? I guess you could tell, ask the people in the UK if they feel like they've got that kind of transparency. I think they've got the same kind of surveillance problems, the same kind of closed government that we have. We see that happening in all the Western democracies now, saying that you don't have a right to know what's going on. Now, this is not something that began with the Obama administration, of course. This really started doubling down during the Bush administration in the aftermath of 9/11. And when Obama ran, he said he was going to do something different. He didn't say that this was our form of government, just as she just said. He said this.
When there's a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online and find out what's in it before I sign it.
Now, that didn't happen, did it?
so that you know what your government's doing.
Oh,
when
so you're supposed to know.
Meetings between lobbyists and a government agency, we'll put as many as many of those meetings as possible online for every American to watch. When there's a tax bill being debated in Congress, you will know the names of the corporations that would benefit and how much money they would get. And we will put every corporate tax break and every pork barrel project online for every American to see. You will know who
Yeah, hold it,
for
hold
them.
It right there, okay? Now, we got an article up on Infowars.com today. The U.S. wants to criminalize movie and music streaming. Now, this is just another reincarnation of SOPA, PIPA, ACTA, CISPA. We see this coming again and again and again. But when he says you're going to know all the legislation in advance, you're going to be able to see who's benefiting from this and who isn't, what about the Trans-Pacific Partnership that has been negotiated throughout his administration, started in his administration, the negotiations? That's being done in secret by corporate lobbyists, and they are going to incorporate the aspects of SOPA, PIPA, CISPA, all these failed measures to try to enact surveillance and web control via copyright administration. See, that's the beard on it. And actually, there will be some usefulness to the movie and music businesses. They're driving this, but it's going to be used for a lot more than that. If you give them the power, you will not have your day in court. You will just have your website taken down, or you'll be banned from the internet merely by accusation. They're not going to give you due process. They're not actually going to give you a day in court. They're just going to be able to immediately shut down a website based on accusation. And this is what's being negotiated in secret by the TPP. Now, Obama has sent his trade representative down there with fast-track capability, and we are not allowed to know what's happening there. Not even senators and congressmen are allowed to know what's going on in these bills. It's kept totally secret from everyone. There is no transparency whatsoever. Now, as we look at this, and I want to get your take on this, because we said that that Senator Sessions wants people to call in and melt down the phone lines of the House and the Senate. We want you to let us know what you think about impeachment. Tell us what you think about what's going on at the border. What's really behind this? How do we control this? I want to go down. I want to show you what's happening at the border, and I want to get your take on this. Is it something that we can address simply by force, or is there another way that we address this? What is driving this? What is pushing people from that area? What is pulling them in? What is attracting them? The number, if you want to call in, is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539, or that's Alex, 789-ALEX, 877-789-ALEX, if you want to remember it that way if you're driving in your car. Now, there was an article that was up on the Drudge Report yesterday from Paul Joseph Watson. DARPA wants new technology to predict societal unrest. And as we look at what's happening at the border, as we look at what's happening with our economy, as we look at the implications of this massive immigration, this massive amnesty, and also what's going on with the drug war and the international drug gangs that are coming across, I have to ask if this is about predicting societal unrest that DARPA wants to do, or is it creating it? Certainly, they want to know how you're going to react, and there's been a lot of research projects along that line. As Paul Joseph Watson points out, it's now DARPA. Those are the people who are always doing the really dark research. They're soliciting companies to provide new technology that would allow the Department of Defense to predict future societal unrest by keeping track of, quote, all human activities that can be measured. Now, they point out, and this is a solicitation on FedBiz Ops, they point out that this is going to be game-changing technologies. It will provide information advantage to the U.S. and its allies in powerful ways. They will gain insight into the world that will have mercantile and military implications. Now, when they say mercantile, they're talking about helping their favored corporations as well. And it's that kind of corporate espionage that this is being used for, as well as the dragnet surveillance of its citizens that is causing so much protest, not only in America, but especially in Europe. It's why many European countries and governments are now moving away from American computer businesses and software companies. We're going to be right back with more on the border. We're going to take your calls.
on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, July 27th, 2014. Now, we've been talking about what's going on at the border. Of course, there's so many crises to choose from in the Obama administration, so many different things that he could be impeached for. Certainly, going after entire political movements, using the IRS to go after them, and then covering it up. See, that's the key thing. It was the cover-up that took down Nixon. And that's the cover-up that should take down Obama. But, of course, then there's the executive orders to just give amnesty to millions of people. That's what they're talking about right now. So the question is this just gross incompetence, or is this a planned takedown of America? Now, in 2009, there was a New York Times op-ed piece where they basically said, is Obama a chess master? And they made the case that, yes, they thought he was. Now, just today, a real chess master, Garry Kasparov, tweeted out, allow me to disagree. Now, I think he was talking about Obama's foreign policy in the Ukraine and Russia. But the reality of it is that I think there is evidence to show that this is something, at least if Obama is not orchestrating it, it's certainly the powers that put him in office. Think about what's happening here. Think about just with the border, the many different facets of this. It really is a masterstroke of tyranny. They want to implode the country economically by exponential expansion of the entitlements. This is a Cloward and Piven strategy that we've talked about many times. The fact that you put all these entitlements out there, and of course, we've just had the largest increase in entitlements in my lifetime, and that was Obamacare. As they put Obamacare out there, and then they bring in millions of people, as well as the other entitlement programs, that's an effort to overload the system. And of course, even if we just paid for the education of the children that are coming in, that would basically take most jurisdictions underwater. But it's not just imploding the country economically. He's also going to explode the country with violence, because it's not children merely that are coming across. And many of the children who are coming across are gang members, 15, 16, 17 years old, still minors. But as we've seen and talked about here on the radio program here on the Alex Jones Show many times, we've got baby Zetas, we've got MS-13 gang members who are minors involved in kidnapping, involved in murder and torture, mutilation, making videos of it, even after they get the ransom, still killing the victims and taking video of it and putting it out there. So that is not really the kind of image that they're putting out there in the mainstream media, saying this is just children that are making this long trek across. Certainly those gang members can make the trek across, and we know that is happening. And so we've got a war on drugs that is escalating violence here in the United States, that has essentially decimated those countries, along with the economic policies, the rent-seeking policies of the IMF, going all the way back to Robert McNamara. For decades, they've been putting these countries into debt to the banks to pay for increased welfare states. They weren't building infrastructure in those countries. They were getting them to go into debt to pay for a welfare state. And as everybody said, you're getting into a rent-seeking status. In other words, you don't want anybody to own anything. You want everybody to rent everything from you. And that is what the big banks and the multinational corporations want to do. They want to stop all private ownership of everything. So we have communism on the bottom, but it's essentially an economic fascism on top. Think about what else he's doing. He's not just imploding the country economically, getting ready to explode it with violence as we bring in more of these international gang members who will then go into competition with the gangs that are already in our countries, already creating a lot of violence, prohibition style in our countries. He's also going to divide the country demographically. He wants to control a large new voting bloc of voters. He's going to do it with amnesty, and they want to make sure that nobody IDs anyone at the voting polls, because, of course, that would be racist. Now, you can't cash a check, you can't get a drink in most bars, you can't drive a car, you can't do so many things without having an ID. We're constantly getting stopped as if we were in Nazi Germany, demanding IDs from us by the police, even when we're not trying to engage in something. But when we try to engage in something for which we should have some control and know if these people are legitimate voters, that's racist. That's racist to require ID from everybody. So they're trying to divide the country demographically. And he's trying to erase the rule of law. with executive orders. Now, I want you to hear what Barack Obama said back in 2007 and 2008. Here's a few clips.
There's been a tendency on the part of this administration to try to hide behind executive privilege every time there's something a little shaky that's taking place. And I think, you know, the administration would be best served by coming clean on this.
It's not actually true that the Patriot Act was the worst. Most of the problems that we have had in civil liberties were not done through the Patriot Act. They were done through executive order by George W. Bush.
And yeah. I think one of the biggest problems of the last 8 years has been the degree to which President Bush has taken almost the opposite tack, that secrecy and concentrations of power in the Oval Office.
I taught the Constitution for 10 years. I believe in the Constitution, and I will obey the Constitution of the United States. We're not going to use signing statements
that's
as a way of
what
doing
makes
an
it so bad. He knows what the Constitution is. He certainly knows what it is. It isn't that he doesn't know. It isn't that he's incompetent. He's thumbing his nose at the Constitution. He, more than anyone else, has bragged about how he's going to use executive orders because he just doesn't want to wait for Congress. He could care less what Congress does. And Congress sheepishly takes a back seat to him and doesn't do anything. And so the question is, should they impeach them? That's what we want to talk to you about. But I want to play you now this clip that just came out from Luis Guterres. This is the same guy who just a few days ago was recorded talking to La Raza and said, we're going to get amnesty so we can punish these Americans who don't want to allow illegal immigration. Here's what he had to say.
I'm going over to the White House. I'll be meeting with Jay Johnson and the chief legal counsel to the president of the United States. We're going to sit down and we're going to negotiate additional terms and avenues the president can use in prosecutorial discretion. And I think we can get 3 or 4, maybe even 5 million people.
Okay, so we're constantly hearing that we need to have immigration reform, but the Republican line is, of course, we need to secure the border before we have immigration reform, and then presumably we can just grant amnesty to everyone and put them right on the welfare rolls. Well, how is that border working out? Well, we sent our InfoWars crew team down there to take a look at it. We've got Joe Biggs down there. He's been flying over the border, taking aerial shots of it, as well as going up and down the border, and there's some pretty amazing stuff. I want to play you a couple of short clips here. We've got 3 short clips I'd like to play of Joe down there, looking at various aspects of really what does this border fence look like. Here's the first clip.
We are now 100 yards up the fence from where we were just at a second ago, where you saw the wide parts open. Now look. This is an area that has been cut down by the cartels. It was just repaired on 3/14/14, and it was cut open by the cartels on 10/29/13. Now, let me show you real quick what happens.
Write that down on the grid right there.
What they do is there's a smuggling route right back here. A truck can get through.
So we're going to be right back. I want to play these 2 clips, and after that, I want to go to your calls and get your comments on what we should do about that. He's showing basically a wire grid that they're cutting through with acetylene torches, and then they come back and record when they repaired it when it was cut. Stay with us. We'll be right back with your calls.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're getting ready to take your calls here. We were just playing some clips from the border. We have an InfoWars crew that's down there right now. Joe Biggs has been filing reports, walking up and down the border, flying over it, showing you exactly what the border looks like in Arizona, exactly how they're coming through. And of course, it ranges from being very easy to get through to areas where you've got drug cartels essentially using acetylene torches to cut through. So it's all over the place. I want to get your take on what we do to control the collapsing border situation, to control the economy that is going to be collapsing once we bring all these people in, give them amnesty, as Luis Guterres has said. Obama is going to use executive orders to grant amnesty to 3, 4, 5 million people, according to him. Now, we also have Steve Stockman, who went to the border and said Obama is begging to be impeached. Now, he went down with a WorldNet Daily crew to the Rio Grande Valley on Friday night, and they did essentially the same thing. They tried to talk to border control agents there who refused to talk to them and then started trailing them, just like they did our crew when we went down there. Stockman said, Obama wants us to impeach him now before the midterm election because his senior advisors believe that's the only chance the Democratic Party has to avoid a major electoral defeat. Evidently, Obama believes impeachment could motivate the Democrat Party to come out and vote. Now, we see the similar thing coming from someone who's been with the Obama administration since the very beginning. That is Dan Pfeiffer. And he said the president acting on immigration reform will certainly up the likelihood that Republicans would contemplate impeachment at some point, because he's talking about how they're going to float some reforms, as they call it, some executive orders before the November midterm elections. As a matter of fact, in Time magazine, they bragged about it. They said Obama is eyeing major immigration moves. They said activists met privately with the president and his aides back in June 30th. And Obama suggested even back then that he will act before the November midterm elections. And of course, we have Senator Pete Sessions saying that we need to melt Congress's phone lines to stop Obama's planned executive action. And again, he's saying that he's concerned that he's going to grant amnesty to 3 to 5 million people, just as Guterres has said. He says it would be wrong for any member of the House or Senate to support any border crisis bill that doesn't end DACA. That's the DREAM Act, essentially the amnesty for the younger children. That's what's drawing them in, I believe. And so the question is, should they stand on principle? They're going to lose if they try to impeach him before the elections. Or should they just give him a pass in a kind of a cynical political move? Now, before I take your calls, I want to go back and play the rest of this video that we had. It's fairly short. I got two more short videos of Joe Biggs down at the border. Now, what we had just played, he was walking along showing some steel girders that were up vertically. I'll describe this because this is predominantly a radio show. People can watch this video feed on our website. But if you're listening on the radio, what they had were girders, steel girders going up, and then steel cross-hatching between that, that he said they just cut through with an acetylene torch. And the Border Patrol goes along and writes on the girders when it was cut and when they repaired it. Now, here's what else he had to say.
What they do is there's a smuggling route right back here. A truck can get through. They drive up here, and they bring acetylene gas torches up here. They cut through this huge fence right here, make it big enough for the truck to get through. They cut through these I-beams with a torch and then take that down. And then what they have is a complete open route into our country to smuggle drugs. This is not by accident. This is a design by the Obama administration. And not only just them, our entire government as a whole has a hand in this. The Fast and Furious, all these things are happening. We make money getting their drugs. We sell them weapons. This is a huge issue that needs to be looked at. It's not just the illegals coming through. It's the drugs flooding our borders to help dumb our people down, essentially. I mean, this is a mind-blowing thing that's happening out here. And we just need more people in America to care about this and watch what's going on and do something about it. I'm so Joe Biggs.
We're told that they have the border under control, that they have a fence, that we don't need to worry about that. And of course, the GOP says we can have immigration reform as long as we've got the border controlled. But I want you to take a look at some. Have you guys got the next clip queued up yet? Okay, let's go with that. Let's go. This is a border fence as a multi-billion-dollar facade. Here's Joe Biggs again.
I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com in Cochise County, Arizona, with Glenn Spencer. Now, we are right on the border, as you can see. From what Glenn told me a second ago, they spend about $3 million every mile or so to build this fence, and yet they have left this completely wide open. Now tell me why this happens.
Well, we're known for monsoons between really July, August, September. We have heavy rain.
Pause out there for a second. And I want to describe this while for the people who are listening on the radio. So what you see there is a fence that costs $3 million per mile to build. A very heavy metal fence. And what they've done is just lifted it straight up. And all that remains on the bottom part is about three strands of barbed wire that are running across there. Kind of like a cattle fence, let's say. Go ahead, continue.
What they've done here because this is a wash. This is a low spot. What they've done is they've cut the holes in the fence and put in these gates and raised them up so the water can come through. Now, these are up, I don't know, usually 2 or 3 months out of the year. As you can see, you could just walk right through.
$3 million was spent on this section, and it is completely left wide open. I mean, right here, they have a lock, and you can tell that someone goes through the trouble to bring a crane out here, not a crane, but a forklift, lift these up and lock these completely in.
Yeah, this is as easy as walking in. That's right.
Yeah,
right.
They don't
and
even
you can
have
see
to.
Footprints over here.
Pause it there. Pause it there. They don't even have to. They show the footprints on the other side. They don't even have to cut the barbed wire because it's got a spacing between it that you could just kind of duck through that thing and just walk right through. Let's go to Randy in Texas. Randy, what do you think about this? What do you think about impeachment? What do you think about the border situation?
Yeah, I think that Obama wants to be impeached because if we start impeachment against him, then that's going to energize the Democratic base to come out and vote in the midterm elections.
That's right. But what do we do? Do we just give him a pass on all these different things that he's done? I mean, there's got to be something there that we could get bipartisan support on where he has transgressed the rule of law, transgressed the Constitution. I mean, couldn't we impeach him on the civil liberties issue, for example, on the NDAA? There are a lot of people in the Democrat Party that understand how bad that is. And if you remember at the beginning of the program, when I was playing those quotes from Obama back in 2007, 2008, he was talking about how bad the Patriot Act was. Well, it is bad. He's put it on steroids. And he pointed out that the worst stuff that was in there were executive orders. Well, he's done the same sort of things. He's done drone killings. He's killed an American citizen and that American citizen's son, who wasn't even accused of anything, with targeted drone assassinations. Isn't that something that we could impeach him for and get support from the left as well as from the right?
Yes, we'd have to be careful on what we would impeach him on because automatically the propaganda wing of the White House, MSNBC, would say that, the only reason that they're wanting to impeach him is because they're a bunch of racist Tea Party people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have to pick which things we do very carefully because if we pick something that is a standard Republican issue, then they're just going to dismiss it as partisan politics. The problem is that what should be bipartisan issues, the things like the targeted drone assassinations, the things like the NSA dragnet spying, those things are things that the Republicans want to do. They would love to do that. They don't care about civil liberties. So it's very hard to build a bipartisan coalition to stop criminal executive actions, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm afraid that if we do try to go ahead and impeach him, it's just going to play into his hands. I think that the best thing to do is to go ahead and try to impeach him on any executive action he takes on immigration and just keep pounding home the point that...
Well, that's still going to be a partisan issue. That's going to be easy for them to spend. Hang on. Thank you, Randy, in Texas. We'll be right back. We're going to go to Joe in Arkansas. We'll be taking your calls on whether or not Obama should be impeached and for what should he be impeached. We'll be right back.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center. And the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, July 27th, 2014. I'm David Knight, and we're taking your calls. We're talking about impeachment. And of course, on Friday, we had an article on Infowars.com that one-third of Americans would like to see Obama impeached. Now, it was 57% of Republicans, even 14% of Democrats wanted him impeached. And of course, 45% of the people who wanted him impeached said that he sought to expand the presidency too much. And of course, that would be things like the executive order. Now, there's talk that there's going to be an executive order before the election Guterres, who was at La Raza, saying that we needed to grant amnesty to the illegals here so that we could punish the Americans who want to throw them out. He's saying that he thinks that Obama could grant amnesty to anywhere between 3, 4, 5 million people. To which Senator Pete Sessions says we need to melt Congress's phone lines to stop Obama's planned executive amnesty. And we also have Steve Stockman, who is at the border with a film crew this weekend, saying that Obama is begging to be impeached. So we want to ask you, what should he be impeached? If so, what should he be impeached for? And of course, we're focused right now, too, on the border situation, because what's happening at the border is something where we've got the possibility of the economy being imploded by a rapid expansion of the welfare state. We've got violence that can explode because they're bringing in or allowing in gang members, many of them these children that we're being told about, minors. But of course, you know, the DREAM Act applies to anyone that is up to 31 years of age. So that's pretty expansive in terms of children, in terms of minors. But of course, it also has the potential to divide the country, as Luis Guterres would like to see, to create these competing factions, to create a new voting bloc just by fiat, by amnesty, by executive order. And of course, these executive orders will erase the rule of law. So I'm going to go to your comments and I want to take your phone calls on this. But before I do, we need to take care of a little bit of business here. You know, one of the things that we have been able to do since I've been here, I've seen the magazine come online, top quality magazine that Alex puts out there. We've got a new studio where we're going to be taking the nightly news into a broader audience. When Alex does stuff and when he reinvests the money that you send us, when you buy our products, when you support this organization, when he does these things, he does first quality stuff. And he is reinvesting the money that we get from the products that we sell. He also tries to put out the very best quality in terms of the products that he sells, especially the health products, because we understand how your health is being impacted by the additives that are put into the food, by the things, GMO, high fructose corn syrup, the many additives that go in. How do you detox? Well, one of the ways that you can detox is with Fluoride Shield. That's a chelating detox, and we have that now at 25% off. We also have X2. That's the pure nascent iodine. If you get those two together, we have a super detox special, 30% off. We also now have back in stock. It was back ordered for a while. After 2.5 months, we've got Silver Bullet back in stock. At the current rate that's going, though, it'll probably be out within the week, and it's going to take us a while to get that back in. That is $19.95. You can get all that stuff at InfoWarsLife.com, 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139, InfoWarsLife.com. That's what keeps the organization going. We don't get money from the government, certainly, and we don't have any corporate big daddies. It's you supporting us, you helping yourselves. It's a win-win situation. You've helped us to build this media organization. I can tell you from the time that I've been here that Alex is being a good steward with your money, reinvesting it in things that are going to make a difference. Let's go to your calls right now. Let's take Joe in Arkansas. Joe, what do you think about the border situation? What do you think about impeachment?
Yeah, well, impeachment is what I called about, and I think that if the Republicans hope to have any chance of winning back the Senate and the House this November election, they better start making a real, real, real serious effort at impeachment right now, because I think that's about the only thing that's going to give any good, responsible, patriotic American any motivation to vote for the Republicans. And as for what they should impeach him for, I think some good congressmen, some good patriotic congressmen, ought to draw up a list of about half a dozen issues, high crimes and misdemeanors which Obama has committed, you know, along with good supporting factual evidence, you know, for each one. And at least about half of them, I think your idea of trying to impeach him for bipartisan issues is an extremely good idea. And then this congressman should publish this list and ask people, you know, all over the country, to call your congressmen, call your senators, tell them that you want Obama impeached for these reasons. You know, try to enlist the support of the public. You know, melt down the phone lines of Congress trying to get congressmen and senators to support impeachment. That's what I think they ought to do.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely. I don't think that they're going to pay much attention to us if we call and melt down their phone lines and say we don't want executive orders. I think that the GOP needs to energize its base. Now, of course, they're out there saying, oh, we don't want to do that because if we impeach Obama, it's going to energize the Democrat base. Well, as you pointed out very, very smartly, if they don't do this, it's the GOP base that's not going to be energized, because we're going to look at this and we're going to say these guys give him a pass no matter what he does, no matter how many times he breaks the law. I think that's very important. Thank you, Joe, in Arkansas. Let's go to Marlene in Michigan. Marlon. I think it's Marlon in Michigan. Marlon, yeah, sorry.
What's going on, man? I just wanted to say, well, as far as the impeachment thing goes, I mean, I definitely think that they should do it, but my only issue with it is that if you're going to have a Daryl Issa and an Elijah Cummings show, then don't do it at all. Because I feel like, you know, the IRS situation is something they should have been buried with a long time ago.
Yes.
But because of the way it's been handled, I can honestly see an impeachment situation being something similar, and it'd just be a fiasco that'd basically go into the face of everybody that want to have them impeached.
Well, Marlon, I think that's exactly why they need to do it. It's because we've seen them come up and just use this in kind of a limp-wristed way to essentially just score some political points and not really do anything about it. We've seen what's happening with the IRS, and Daryl Issa keeps coming up and saying, well, you know, we're really going to do something if you don't come forward with these records, or we're very upset about how you've broken the law here or what you've done over here, but they don't follow through and actually do anything. And I think that is why it's imperative for the GOP to show that it actually has a backbone, that it'll actually stand up and do something. Otherwise, why do we need to have a majority of GOP there?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. And I just want to add one more thing, too, is that I feel like with this whole amnesty thing, I mean, you know, people would be talking about that they don't want to, you know, energize the Democratic base. They don't want to do this. They don't want to do that. But my thing is that the country is basically broken up into two sections. I mean, you're going to have people who are going to vote Democrat or Republican. But here's my only issue, is that with him talking about the amnesty, and they only talking about 4 or 5 million, in my eyes, I don't know about you guys, but I'm seeing like more like 10 or 11 million people, because they talk about the undocumented people,
right,
plus the people that's coming over. And I'm adding up 11, 12 million. That is your vote right there. It doesn't matter how much you energize a Democrat. A Democrat is going to vote Democrat. They're not going to vote Republican. You cannot do anything to change that opinion.
That's
they're
right.
Going to come out, they're going to vote.
That's right. And when you look at how few people actually vote in an election anyway, now, of course, we're all assuming that these are legitimate elections. That's another argument that we need to have. It's not just voter ID. I mean, that's part of it. But it's also maintaining custody of the votes, make sure that they're going to be counted correctly, that they're going to be reported correctly. We've talked about this. There's a whole chain of custody with the vote. It starts with correct voter ID. But when you look at the number of people that presumably vote in these elections, you're only looking at a few million people. There's a very small percentage of the population that actually participates in the elections. So when you bring in a block of 5-10 million people, maybe more, we don't know what these numbers are, that's going to radically alter everything. And of course, if we allow these people to come in and stay, put them on the welfare roll, we don't do any voter ID, you don't have to have amnesty for them to be able to vote. Thank you. Let's go to Margaret in North Dakota. You wanted to talk about immigration and mainstream media's approach to that. Go ahead, Margaret. Oh, I think we're about out of time, and I don't think she's still on the line. We're going to be right back with your calls. And, of course, the question is, are we going to allow the government to are we going to allow Obama to just follow through with his executive orders, have blanket amnesty? Or is the GOP going to try to energize its base? Are we going to have an effective clash of ideas? Or are we just going to sit back and let Obama do anything he wants? I think even if you lose this fight, it's a fight you need to have, because you have to stand for principle. You have to stand for the rule of law. We're going to be taking your phone calls on this Sunday edition of the Alex Jones Show. Right after we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the border situation. What is really causing it? What is pulling these people in? What is pushing them out of their country? What are the policies that we've put in place to make that happen? We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. We're taking calls on what should be done about not only the border, but about impeachment. Should we impeach Obama? He is declaring now that he's going to do some executive orders before the midterm elections. They think that's going to help them. As several callers have pointed out, if we have a GOP that doesn't have the backbone to do anything after scandal after scandal after scandal, then maybe we're going to have the GOP voters who aren't energized. Maybe they're not going to be energized if the GOP sets back and does nothing, no matter how outrageous, no matter how unconstitutional, no matter how tyrannical, dictatorial his actions are. And the question is, when we look at the border, what are we going to do about it? We just had a report from Joe Biggs, who's now down at the Arizona border. And of course, the border all across the southern border is wide open and has been for a very long time. There's probably more fences up now than we've ever had before. We have the federal government going down and building fences, metal fences, spending $3 million per mile. And then they go back and they put a gate in it and lift it up about 5 feet so people can just walk right through. Of course, they put three strands of barbed wire across it. That's not any obstacle for anyone. That's what we have now. And we have massive immigration that we've never had before, even when we had fewer fences. This is a manufactured crisis that's going on now. This is not something that just happened by accident. There's both a pull in terms of our policies that have been put in place by Obama, again, by executive order. Our immigration policies, our DREAM Act, all these different things have been put in saying that we're going to give an expanded entitlement state to anyone who comes in under the age of 31. They'll be able to get all kinds of benefits in terms of educational benefits that even our citizens don't enjoy. We can't go to any state and get in-state tuition. And many of them, of course, are going to get free ride tuitions. That's just part of it. Of course, they're also going to be paid for in our taxes that we have for our local school taxes. This will implode the country. So what do we do about it? Why is this happening now? Well, it's because of our welfare policies, but it's also there really is violence in those countries. There really is economic hardship in those countries. And that is being driven, the violence and much of the economic hardship is being driven by American policies, by IMF policies, by banker policies, by our war on drugs and our prohibition policies that are down there. Now, they do have out-of-control violence there because of the drug cartels and the gangs. That is now moving north into our country. And if you look at the number of people that have been killed in Mexico, it's an absolute slaughter. Far more have been killed in the war on drugs in Mexico than in the Afghanistan war. Do we want to bring that violence into America? Well, Obama is saying essentially yes. So how do we respond to this? Do we militarize the border? Do we militarize the police? Do we make the same mistakes that we've made in light of 9/11 and the war on drugs? I don't think so. We need to step back and look at the policies that are causing the economic hardship there as well as here. The policies that are causing violence there as well as here. We need to stop those policies rather than double down and do another 9/11, do another Patriot Act. That's what I'm concerned about seeing happen. I don't want to see the border militarized. I don't want to see us put into a giant FEMA camp that stretches around the entire perimeter of the southern border. I don't want to see that happen. I want to see the policies addressed. I want to see drug wars, drug prohibition, SWAT teams, the militarization of the police. I want to see that brought down. I want to see some of the entitlement programs that we can no longer afford. We have a $17 trillion debt. How are we going to pay for all of these new dependents? Well, of course, that's just one aspect of it. Just before the break, we were getting ready to talk to Margaret in North Dakota. I think, Margaret, you were on hold, but couldn't hear us. Are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Hi, David. As far as impeachment, first of all, I don't think we'd have enough time right now anyway before the election. I think we have to stop letting the powers that be control.
Well, hang on, because we're out of time, not just before the election, but before this break. I'll hold you through the break, and we'll be right back taking your calls on whether or not we should impeach Obama, and if so, for what.
Big brother! Big brother! Big brother! Big brother! only fitting that a free screen should sound the alarm against those who would destroy freedom. For in its power to deceive and inflame, or enlighten and inspire, the motion picture has no equal.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, July 27th, 2014. We've been talking about whether or not Obama should be impeached. We've been talking about what should happen at the borders. Should we build more fences? Should we build different kinds of fences? Should we make them higher, deeper? Should we spend billions and billions of dollars essentially creating a massive jail for ourselves? Or should we create a police state as we've made that mistake with the war on drugs? Should we destroy civil liberties even more than we have in the wake of 9/11? Should we militarize the police even more than we have in the wake of 9/11? Should we send the military down there? Along these lines, let's take a look at what just happened. Take a step back for a moment and take a look at what happened with the Second Amendment this weekend. We just had a federal court case in D.C. This is Palmer versus D.C. This is a case that's been winding through the courts for 5 years. And finally, the judge there has ruled in favor of the person who is suing to have his right to carry. This is an action. The lead attorney is Alan Gura of the Second Amendment Foundation. Congratulations to them. Thanks for fighting for that. And this is what the court decision said from Judge Frederick Scullin. He said, there is no longer any basis on which this court can conclude that the District of Columbia's total ban on the public carrying of ready-to-use handguns outside of the home is constitutional under any level of scrutiny. Therefore, the court finds that the District of Columbia's complete ban on the carrying of handguns in the public is unconstitutional. That was a 19-page ruling, just came out. And, of course, that follows on the heels of the Supreme Court slapping down the District of Columbia back in 2008, Heller versus D.C. In that particular case, that was a fellow who was a police officer or security guard of some sort, Heller. He was not allowed to have a weapon when he was off duty even. They would not even allow a police officer who worked for the city to have a weapon off duty. So they were struck down. That law was struck down by the Supreme Court saying, no, he can have a gun. So they immediately said, all right, you can have a gun, but you have to keep it locked up in your home. You can't take it anywhere. Well, that's infringement. That's what is meant by the Second Amendment, saying that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. If you infringe it with all these different qualifications, you don't allow people to actually carry the gun so they can actually have it with them if they need to defend themselves. That's exactly what the Second Amendment was there to stop, was government doing that. Yet we still see in this other article up on Infowars.com, Boston police say residents do not need to own shotguns and rifles. This is the head of the Boston Police, Police Commissioner William Evans. He says, nobody in the city needs a shotgun. Nobody needs a rifle. Well, I guess maybe that includes the police. I don't know. We know better than that. We know that you do need to have weapons to defend yourself. And of course, they will try to infringe on that right any way that they can. But I want to think about this. I want you to think about this case of two shootings, essentially in the same area, both of them up in Pennsylvania, both of them involving psychiatric patients going into a psychiatric ward or hospital and involved in a shooting. They're 2 years apart. Now, 2 years ago, this was a gunman in the Western Psychiatric Institute, and he went into this Pennsylvania place, and he fired several shots using two semi-automatic guns. He killed one man who was 25 years old, injured seven others before police eventually arrived and shot him and killed him. Now, in the case that just happened in Pennsylvania, this is reported by ABC News, they say inside the furious close-range gun battle at a Pennsylvania hospital, in this particular case, you have another patient who comes in, pulls out a gun out of his waistband, and shoots a caseworker in the head without warning. She's killed. But then what happens is the doctor that he really wanted to kill, that he had come to shoot, that was a Dr. Silverman, he, according to this article, dove to the floor, pulled out a semi-automatic pistol out of his pocket, and had a furious close-range gun battle with this shooter, who police said fired at least 10 rounds. The doctor, who was using a chair for protection, aimed his gun at the shooter and fired until it was empty. The doctor was grazed in the head, wounded in the thumb while covering his face, but he was able to get out of the office unaware that he had struck Plotz, that is the shooter, three times. And then what happened was someone else bravely climbed through the window and wrestled him to the ground. But he shot him three times. He was still trying to reload, but at that point, I think he had been taken down a bit. But that's the situation as it stands. Now, of course, there have been reports that there's going to be disciplinary action possibly taken against this doctor who defended himself and defended others by shooting this guy who came in and shot the caseworker in the head immediately. The difference is, as we've seen over and over again, as the police chief in Detroit has pointed out over and over again, when something like this happens, you're on your own for a while. The police can't be everywhere. It takes them a while to get there. And so you see, in the first case, seven people were shot. In this case, one person was shot besides the shooter. That's the difference in having concealed carry. That's a practical argument for it. Of course, there are many other arguments for what the Second Amendment is really about. It's really about a deterrent on a tyrannical government. But we have other deterrents, and one of those is impeachment. And we were just talking to Margaret in North Dakota. You were weighing in, Margaret, as to whether or not you think that Obama should be impeached or not. And if so, what do you think he should be impeached for? Go ahead.
Well, for right now, I think we should hold off on that because we wouldn't be able to do it in time prior to the election anyway. And it looks like the Republicans are going to take the Senate and keep the House. You also have a situation where in the primaries, you have more libertarian candidates coming in. And all you need is maybe a handful more control of the Republicans along with the citizens they know are more libertarian. And we have to control the conversation.
I think that, you know, I don't know how long it takes to go through the impeachment thing. It necessarily have to take longer than the election. But I agree with the earlier callers that if we don't energize the opposition base, I don't know that the Republicans are going to have that much of a majority anyway. And even if they do win, what difference does it make if they won't stand for principle? Thank you, Margaret. Let's go to Chris in Indiana. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, David.
Hey, what's on your mind? What do you think we should do about impeachment?
First on the impeachment thing, I don't think it would do any good at all, even if Obama was impeached and kicked out of office. Vote, because if you're impeached, it doesn't matter. I mean, Clinton was impeached and the Senate was on his side, so he was just thrown out. Hey, even if Obama was thrown out by the Senate, he'd have Joe Biden as president. I mean, what would that do?
Well, you know what? I think that it actually did make a difference. I think it moved government back somewhat when Nixon was impeached. I think that when Clinton got away with it, I think that kind of emboldened the lawlessness. And you could argue, I think maybe the best argument for not impeaching Obama is that if he gets away with it, he's going to be even bolder. But what do we do to stop him? I mean, he's going to rule by executive order. He's going to just grant amnesty to who knows how many millions of people. He's going to put them on the welfare roll. He's going to put them on the voting rolls. What do we do about that? What do we do about the other scandals
right
and the criminal
that.
Breaking of the law with the other scandals?
No, there's endless scandals, and it's all the scandals are just all rounding out to get a big goal for the New World Order. But I wanted to get to the border also. Ron Paul has said in many of the debates, I was watching that stuff, like, I was obsessed with it when Ron Paul was in all these debates. He brought up in one of the debates, because they were talking about the border, he said repeatedly that we care more about the borders between Afghanistan and Pakistan than we do between the United States and Mexico.
Well, that's true. Thank you for calling, and we're going to take more of your calls right after the break. Ron Paul also said, be careful when you build a fence because it can be used to keep you in as well as to keep other people out. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream Media.
government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're taking your calls on what's happening at the border. Are we going to have amnesty by fiat, by executive order, by Obama? Should he be impeached? Does he want to be impeached? That's what Steve Stockman said when he went to the border. He said Obama is begging to be impeached, and it certainly looks that way. The Obama administration has openly said that they plan to do executive orders on amnesty, on blanket amnesty, before the midterm November elections. We've had Congressman Gutierrez, who was just speaking at La Raza, said that we should have amnesty for the illegals who are here so that we could punish those who oppose illegal immigration. He's saying that he thinks that we could get 3 to 5 million people given amnesty by executive order. Of course, that number, as callers have pointed out, is probably much higher. We don't have any real numbers to know who's going to be entitled to citizenship by fiat, by the executive order, because we haven't seen those, we haven't seen that defined yet. Now, of course, we also have Senator Pete Sessions saying we need to melt Congress's phone lines to stop Obama's planned executive amnesty. I guess the question is, are we going to see the GOP do anything, or are they going to just grandstand like we've seen Daryl Issa do with the IRS? I mean, that makes people very cynical about anything ever being done. I mean, if you can't send these people to jail, if you can't impeach them when they do the same things that Richard Nixon was impeached for, but far greater, to a far greater extent, to a far greater depth, and with an attitude. You didn't even see the IRS joining in Richard Nixon's wanting to use the IRS to go after his enemies list. The IRS commissioner theoretically put that enemies list in the safe, and that was part of the exhibits and the impeachment of Richard Nixon. Today, they go ahead and go after an entire political movement and then say they don't have their emails where they were talking about doing that. They all just conveniently disappeared. So we see this has gone far beyond whatever it was with Richard Nixon. This is not a situation like it was with Bill Clinton, where he was merely caught, and I say merely, it was enough to impeach Bill Clinton, but he was caught with just one thing that came after him, and that was lying under oath about an affair. Obama has many things that the Obama administration has lied about, many criminal activities, cover-ups, denying information to Congress, and this is just one of the things, the border, but it is a very large part of it. But the other question is, do we just allow the border to be open? Do we build a bigger fence, a deeper fence, a higher fence? We've got Joe Biggs down at the border, and he's been showing us pictures of what the fence actually looks like. We've seen that a fence that they spend $3 million per mile to build, they also put in gates, and they leave those gates wide open in case it rains. You can see the footprints of the people walking underneath the gates. That's what passes for border protection. Let's take a look at some more of Joe Biggs' reports.
All right, here we are about a mile up from where we just had a second ago. Now, what you can see here is a main traffic route right through here for the smugglers. What they do is they pull up a 15-pack van. Now, this is probably, what, 12 feet high? What they do is they bring it up, stand on top. They have an I-beam to step down on, drop down to this beam, and then come into the country. And they're free. They're home free. Look at this. Right over here, there's a little barbed wire area that's easy to get through. Everybody's done it with some small little pliers. You can just cut right through, and you're home free. Our government is wasting money building this fence, and all they're doing is giving them a spot to step and get over into the country. It's a beard. They're putting money. The Department of Homeland Security is saying, yeah, we have a fence. We have a fence. But yeah, look at it. I could climb over this. This is ridiculous. Where's the security at? Where is a secure border that they tell us is up, but I have not seen yet? Continue watching our videos, because we're going to keep giving you eye-opening, mind-blowing reports down here at the border. I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com.
Now, as Joe pointed out, it is a beard. It is just a facade that they put up in some areas so they can do photo ops with it. But what is really behind this? Why has this changed so much recently? Well, of course, it's our policies pulling people in to give them entitlements, but it is also the war on drugs that is really creating the danger, I believe. It's not just economic collapse that we have to look forward to. It is a massive explosion of violence as these gangs come across the border, engage in prohibition, the prohibition racket, just like we saw in alcohol prohibition. You saw rival gangs shooting each other with Tommy guns in the streets. That ended after 13 years, and we now have the New York Times calling for a repeal of prohibition again. Now, one of the things they don't mention in here is that the first time we had prohibition, we had a government and a Congress and a president who had enough respect for the Constitution that they knew they had to pass a special constitutional amendment to give the government the power to prohibit a specific thing, like alcohol. They don't have the power to do that. They don't have the constitutional power to do that. But of course, here we are, about 100 years later, there is no respect for the rule of law or for the Constitution, either from those who are in Congress or the presidency of either party. And so we've had now for 40, 50 years, we've had a war on drugs. Actually, I think it was Nixon that started it in the 70s. And then, of course, we had Ronald Reagan double down with it. He actually went after the users, which is something that they never did under alcohol prohibition. And as Rand Paul pointed out when he talked to the NAACP, this is targeted more so on minorities. We have people who are nonviolent offenders, people who have a certain amount of marijuana can go to jail for 55 years. They can get more jail time, mandatory minimums without parole, more jail time than somebody who's committed murder. That's the absurd situation that we have here. But it's not just in our country. It's also the root of the violence in these other countries. It's the root of MS-13 and the Zeta gangs, those gangs that our CIA created along with the Iran-Contra scandals that happened there, as well as what we see going on in Afghanistan with the heroin trafficking that's there. Poppy production in Afghanistan went from 10% of the world supply to 90% after the American military moved in there and started protecting those fields and helping those people. We saw what's happened in Central and South America. We know that the CIA and others were behind the increase in crack cocaine. They used it as part of their Iran-Contra scandal. So what do we do about this? Do we depend on the federales in America defending us, just like the federales in Mexico have not defended those people down there? We know that we're no safer now. We have SWAT teams. We have militarized police. We have a loss of due process. So many things have been destroyed in the war on drugs to no effect. We still have as many people using these drugs. We could argue that they're using them even more so. If these are criminals in a black market that are giving these things to children and to other people, this is not like they're selling you a car and misadvertising the car where you could go back and sue them. That's why black markets are always so much more dangerous. It's why black markets always create violence. So I want to know what you think we can do to stop the root causes of this border collapse rather than responding to it in a way like we did to 9/11, which is to destroy even more of our rights, to militarize the police even more, to create even more of a police state. We're going to take your calls right after the break. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and we're going to be going back to your phone calls. We're going to be coming up to Matt in Canada, Mark in California, Captain Bruce in Florida, and many others that are still online that have been holding. But just before the break, I want to let you know, we were talking about prohibition. Talking about how the New York Times is calling for the repeal of prohibition, how Rand Paul is calling for the repeal of prohibition. We've seen the rule of law. We've seen nonsense like charging inanimate objects with crimes just so the government can seize that property without going through due process, without convicting anyone, without even charging a person with a crime. They can go in and seize the property by those types of things. We've seen it turn into a militarization of the police with SWAT teams. We've seen people put away for decades in terms of mandatory minimums, filling up the prisons to the extent that we have to allow violent criminals out on the streets because we can no longer hold them in prison. But we give 55-year prison terms to people because of a certain amount of possession of marijuana. And the bulk of the war on drugs is about marijuana. As they pointed out in this New York Times editorial, they said there were 658,000 arrests for marijuana possession in 2012, according to the FBI, but only 256,000 for cocaine. Okay, so it's more than double the number of arrests for marijuana as it was for cocaine, heroin, and other derivatives. And, of course, it is racist. It's falling disproportionately on young black men, and I'm not using that in the light terms that Eric Holder and the Obama administration does, complaining that everything in the world is racist. No, when you have such a large percentage of people, you can actually put numbers to this. You can actually measure it. There's actually metrics that show that it is racist. We're going to be talking on the nightly news tomorrow night. I'm going to be interviewing again Jim Gearock from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He was a Cook County prosecutor, worked there for decades. He says 80% of the shootings in Chicago, and of course, gun violence is out of control in Chicago, one of the places where they have the most restrictive gun laws in the country. It's out of control there. He said 80% of the shootings are due to the war on drugs. What's going to happen when we have more people come across the border, when we have gangs coming across the border like MS-13, like the Zeta gangs, and they start competing with the existing gangs that are here, start a new drug war between them? Because we have this drug war that we've started in Central and South America as well as America. We're going to be talking to him tomorrow night on the nightly news. If you're not a Prison Planet TV subscriber, please consider getting one. You'll be able to see that interview. You'll be able to see everything as it happens every night, Monday through Friday. You can share that with 12 other people. And right now, we've got a special going. For $39.95, you get 5.3 months for free. You always get 2 months for free when you get an annual subscription, but right now you're getting an extra 3 months for free. So that's an annual subscription of just $39.95. You can see the nightly news every night. You can share it with, like I said, 11 other people, and you can get access to all of Alex's documentaries there. Also, consider supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com with a fine line of apparel there that we have, the 1776 apparel, the shirts, the belt buckles, many other things. You know, I'm drinking Alex's coffee here that is 2 days old. When I came in, I didn't have time to, there wasn't any new coffee made. It was there from Friday. And I thought, I don't think I should drink that. But I thought, well, you know what? The coffee is so good. Let me give it a try. And actually, I gave it a try. And although it's cold, it tastes great. For iced coffee, it is delicious. So it tastes even great 2 days later. So that's the Wake Up America line of coffee. I would definitely recommend it. Tastes great, even the pot cold 2 days later. That's super stuff. It's even better when it's freshly brewed, but it's still really good. Better than most of the coffee that I've had that is freshly brewed. And even 2 days later, I want to go back to your calls, and I want to ask, and if you think that Obama should be impeached over this, how do we control the border? How do we, even more importantly, how do we control a president who has declared that he's going to do whatever he wishes? And as Eleanor Holmes Norton pointed out, you don't have a right to know what he's going to do because we've got this separation of powers government. Well, you know, Eleanor Holmes Norton is a non-voting member of Congress. She shouldn't even be there because the District of Columbia doesn't have a congressperson for a good reason. And so she's just there to sound off. But she's, as we play at the beginning of the program, saying that you don't have any right to know under our division of powers. I don't think there is any division of power. It looks to me like Congress has completely abdicated all of its power to either Obama or to the bureaucracies that they let write the laws. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Matt in Canada. Matt.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Doing good. What's on your mind? What do you think we should do?
I think the biggest thing is to correct the laws that are prohibiting the production of hemp and cannabis in the U.S. I think that's the biggest way to increase the economy. You're going to massively increase the farming sector. Talk about the jobs that you're going to be creating. You've got a whole industry that is completely dormant right now because of laws. As soon as you open up cannabis and hemp production, you open up plastics and textile, let alone biodiesel that can produce, that there can be a competitor for all the big oil companies out there. We have a crop that we are not using right now.
Yeah, you have, if you look at, just look at hemp, and that's not anything that's going to get anybody high. If you just look at hemp, you know that back in World War II, we had the Hemp for Victory campaigns, a famous video that you may have seen online. They can make clothing out of it. They can make rope out of it. They can make pharmaceuticals out of it. Hemp oil is very effective from what a lot of people have said. It's helped them a great deal with cancer. Of course, Marijuana helps people who are on chemotherapy. It's the only way that most people can still eat while they're on chemotherapy. So it competes in a lot of different ways with a lot of industries out there. And I would say, Mark, in Canada, I would say that a lot of people had advanced the theory that maybe that was why it was criminalized the way that it was when it was because it was competing with a lot of big business.
Well, that's exactly right. The 1937 Marijuana Tax Act, you're talking about a law that provided the cotton industry, rape industry, all the different manufacturing industries that came up. It provided them a stepping stone for sure. But right now, we need to grow the economy. The only way to do that is by growing hemp trees, fast growing. Not to mention the plastics, every product that you can think of that is used plastics. You can create bioplastics that are biodegradable. We're talking about no CO2 emissions. We're talking about carbon neutral. This is a left and a right marriage right here.
Yeah, that's right. And the good thing about it is that hemp and marijuana kind of grows like a weed, doesn't it? It's pretty easy to grow. But, you know, it's not just the economic benefits from it. It's also the liberty benefits from it. What if we actually went back to the rule of law? Because back in 1937, they did not have the legal authority to prohibit marijuana, to prohibit hemp or anything like that, because they needed to pass a constitutional amendment to prohibit alcohol. But when they got to 1937, they just said, we're just going to rule by fiat. That's what we see happening right now. Thank you, Mark, in Canada. That's what we see happening right now in so many different ways from the Obama administration. And I think that part of what we're seeing in the reluctance to go after Obama is that in areas where they really could win, in areas where they could come after him for things that appeal to a bipartisan audience, where he has destroyed our civil liberties, where they have done dragnet surveillance of people, where they've done drone assassinations, where they've done illegal undeclared wars, so many of those areas, the Republicans could make common cause with Democrats and could impeach him, could bring back the presidency into line with a real separation of powers, but they're reluctant on those issues because, quite frankly, they would like to break the law in those areas in the same way, just as they have signed on to breaking the law with marijuana prohibition and drug prohibition, the same way that the Republican House has supported the NDAA every year. Even though Obama did it and signed it, we also see that it was passed by a Republican majority in the House. Let's go to Mark in California. Mark?
Take them, David. Let none of them escape.
What's that?
David?
Yes.
I said take them, David. Let none of them escape.
Take them. Okay. Expand that a little bit.
Now, in other words, you're doing a good job. Keep on doing it.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Now, definitely, we should impeach Obama, no doubt about it. I know the John Birch Society did a fine job on Clinton. They had the petitions that we went around getting people to sign to send into Congress. But
hang on a second, Mark. We're going to come right back to you right after the break. And we're also going to go to Captain Bruce in Florida and many others who are on hold. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of your calls.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and in this last segment, we're going to be going to Mark in California, John in Wisconsin, and Captain Bruce in Florida. We've been talking about impeachment, whether or not Obama should be impeached, whether or not he's actually begging for it, saying that he's going to essentially give amnesty by fiat to 5 million people, maybe more. Who knows? We don't have an accurate number. But essentially saying he's not going to wait for Congress to do anything. And of course, if he can do that, he can also, by fiat, ban guns. He's talked about doing that. He's talked about doing many things by fiat, and of course he has done a lot by fiat. Can we get him impeached on some bipartisan issues? Will the Republicans do anything, or are they just trying to score some cheap political points? Now, of course, it's been said that Obama wants this, and I think Steve Stockman is right, Congressman Stockman from Texas. I think he does want impeachment. I think he sees that as a way to energize his base. The question is, will those who oppose his rule by fiat, will they be energized to vote for opposition, or will they see the opposition as essentially weak and effective if they don't do anything? I was talking just before the break with Mark in California. Mark, you were about to weigh in on what you thought we should do, whether Obama should be impeached, and maybe for what? What do you think?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to say hi to Captain Bruce in Florida, but I think I think it was Joe that mentioned that the congressman ought to write up. I'm not sure, you know, I'm a carpet cleaner, but the congressman ought to write up, you know, six or seven different things, you know, to impeach him for it. And then the ants, like this listener, can go and work on Congress. I think that's a good strategy. Another good one is I go to the city council meetings in San Jose, and I had a sign made up, a 3-foot by 2-foot sign, which is within the rules, that I bring down there maybe 2 or 3 times. It says John DeCamp, Alex Jones, the Franklin cover-up. We can bring up these issues that you and Alex talk about to our city council still.
Yes.
And I've had 3 different T-shirts made up. I go to San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and it says John DeCamp, Alex Jones, Franklin cover-up, and then on the back it's got a scripture, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So there's something we can do. You know,
yes.
Still we have the freedom. It goes on the net and so on. People do watch that. But
well, you're right. I think there are many things we could do. I think if we fail to do anything, that sends the worst possible message. I think it is, whether or not we are going to win on something, we need to stand up for the things that matter. And when we fail to do that, when we fail to take a stand, that is the worst possible outcome, I think. That's worse than trying to do the right thing and losing. You have to have a backbone. You have to stand up for what's right. And certainly, Mark, I think it's a target-rich environment in terms of what we could impeach him for. There are just so many things. Let's go to John in Wisconsin. John.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind? What do you think we ought to impeach Obama? And if so, what do you think we ought to impeach him for?
I think when he's small, do I have to pick one thing? I mean,
like I said, it's a target-rich environment, isn't it?
Well, there's 43 reasons all wrapped up in Obamacare that we can use.
Yeah.
I think this is, you know, the final straw that breaks Campbell's back, pretty much, because if you look back when Kennedy was in office, he wasn't going along with the program. He was doing, as a matter of fact, he warned us about people doing this.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he was assassinated.
Yeah.
And what happened right after that? Everything escalated. Everything just going up and up and up. Bush Sr. comes out every other time he opens his mouth, it's a new world order, you know?
Well, I think one of the things the Republicans need to do in order to shore up their base is they need to show that they are willing to do something. I mean, we see over and over again how they've abdicated their legislative responsibility to the bureaucracies. We even see one of the leadership, Paul Ryan, going before the Federal Election Commission, asking them for permission to buy and sell, buy his book and give it away. That's something that all these politicians have done. They haven't asked for permission, nor should they, from the Federal Elections Commission. Hillary Clinton didn't ask for it, so he went to them, begged for permission. He essentially turned what is a right, that is political free speech, he turned that into a privilege. And the chair of the Federal Elections Commission, who is a Republican, came out and said, this is a very dangerous precedent we've set. But he was one of the ones who voted for it. They voted 6-0 to put this through. And then he comes out and says, we've set a very dangerous precedent. Yes, they have. They've changed a fundamental right of free political speech into a privilege that they can then micromanage. And they did it in his case. They said, well, you can do this, but you can't do that. And you can't talk, you can't have more than 2 sentences about it on your website. That's the passivity. That's the spinelessness of the GOP leadership that we have right now. And I don't expect them to take any action, quite frankly, but they have to do something. We have to get somebody in there who's going to do something, but it apparently isn't going to be this current crop of the GOP. Anything else you want to add, John?
Well, you know, if we succeed in impeaching the president, then whoever's in charge then, or wait till the next president comes along, recall everybody in the Senate and the House.
Yeah. Well, as somebody else pointed out, if you get rid of Obama, you're just going to get Biden. You're going to get Biden. And he's just as bad. But it sends the message that we could actually do something about it, that we had the will to do something about it. Even if we didn't get the guy impeached, the fact that somebody would stand up to him, I think, would be the beginning of a movement. That person who, or group of people who would have the backbone to do that, they could start coalescing a coalition around them to actually do something. I think that's what we need to see. Let's go to, thank you, John. Let's go to Captain Bruce in Florida. Captain Bruce, go ahead.
David, kudos. I think Alex has finally found his replacement.
Oh, no.
By the way, the Pro Pure water filter works, and I also use the X2 iodine. I feel much better. So that is not, I'm not being paid to say that. That's the truth.
That's great. We got that back in stock, and we got a special on it, as I mentioned earlier. But thank you for letting us know. Go ahead. What did you want to say about impeachment?
I do think we should impeach Obama. And I think Biden is probably Obama's insurance policy. That's the only reason he has been taken out already.
That's right.
But we need to get rid of all of them. We need to get rid of Bernie Sanders and just go on down the line, Chuckie Schumer, Hillary, all of them. God forbid we get Hillary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very, very concerning. Actually, I heard a quote from her that was on an interview with on NPR, and basically she was feeding this agenda out there that it's just simply children who are coming across, and all the immigrants who come across are just fall into one of two categories. They're either migrants who are coming here because they want to be reunited with their family, and it's like, wait a minute, if their family is here, then they're U.S. citizens, or they're coming across and joining illegal immigrants who are already here. Or she says the other alternative is they're fleeing violence. Well, you know, of course, there are other alternatives to that as well. It could be that they're coming here to make themselves a dependent on the American people. It could also be that they're drug gangs who are coming across, just as we've shown in these early reports from Joe Biggs down at the border. They are cutting through the iron fences down there with acetylene torches at a regular rate. That's what is pushing these people in, is the drug war, I believe, that's going on there. And unless we stop that, we're not going to see it stop, no matter how much force, no matter how many fences we put down there. What do you think?
Well, I think teaching the children is important. I'm not scared of the children come across. We're going to be able to reform the union after the United States is balkanized. I live in one of the most conservative areas of the country here next to Eglin Air Force Base. The military is aware, and anybody that is aware of what's going on now realizes this is going to be a long, bloody struggle. And I really want to salute all the callers and all the listeners to this show, because like a roofer uses a rolling magnet to pick up his roofing nails, the NSA is gathering information on all of us, and thanks to Edward Snowden. I am a patriot. I love the Constitution. I love the InfoWar. I've never been more energized and excited, and thank you so much for being there, sir.
Well, thank you, Captain Bruce. And we have to not be intimidated by the fact that the NSA is collecting information on all of us. We have to be energized and angry about that. You're not going to escape them by merely trying to avoid the reality of what's going on. And the most dangerous thing that could come out of all this, out of the Snowden leaks and everything else, is for people to get the wrong message, to say, well, they're watching me. I better shut up. I better not make any waves. I better do exactly what they want. That is the wrong message. We have people like William Binney that I've interviewed on this radio show, the highest ranking NSA whistleblower. He was head of technical operations globally. He worked for them for decades. And he says, we have now a totalitarian state. He said, we already have a police state. He said, for decades, he watched what was going on in East Germany and Russia. And that's exactly what is happening here. We cannot allow that to happen. We need to speak out. And we need to not be afraid to challenge Obama when he breaks the law, or even the Republicans when they break the law. Well, that's it for today's show. Join us again tomorrow. Alex will be back live tomorrow at 11 Central, noon Eastern.